Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. Days of Our Lives gets a two-year renewal, and The Young and the Restless celebrates 50 years. Stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Yo, yo, yo.
And almost live, live adjacent from the red carpet at the 50th anniversary of The Young and the Restless, Melody Akles. Welcome, Mel.
Oh, hello, darlings.
I got to see some of your social media posts about your participation at the Young and the Restless party, which looked wonderful. We'll dive into the Young and the Restless's party and the Bold and the Beautifuls. But before we get to that, as iconic as those things are, those anniversaries, the fact that Days of Our Lives got a renewal for two more years on Peacock, I believe deserves top billing because renewals are important for our industry. Josh, what did the two-year renewal mean for you when it came across?
Back-to-back two-year renewals since, I believe, 1998. It's the last time we got back-to-back multi-year renewals. That was around, as I have been reminded on the Twitter, that was around the time that NBC CEO was like, oh, Day's not going to be around too much longer. This may be the last year of Day's. And then 20 some odd years later, Day's still around. Back to back 2 year renewals. I mean, it was one thing for them to get the 2 year renewal, they go to Peacock, but they've gone to Peacock now for 6 months and apparently things going really well, consistently in the top 10 per the Variety article. And I'm just stunned and amazed. And the demise of soaps has been greatly, greatly oversaid because I'm thrilled for Days of Our Lives. They're doing good stuff over there.
It's no exaggeration that we are thrilled that it's been renewed. Jillian, what did you think of the news?
I don't think it's been since 98. No, I thought it was later. Because when Guza was around, not Guza, Jesus, they both talked. And then Brian Franz, you know, Franz was a helping with for Days because, you know, Gladys Kemp, he used to have his eyeball on them. So NBC used to rush right. And be like, hey, okay.
I feel like that era of Days in limbo was very early DC years, which would put us at about 17 years ago, because I remember that era being one of, like, we were in the midst of the soap opera's death was being written by every newscast. We had Bravo, like the Bravo Real Housewives were the time.
Well, that was later on, but yeah, but like I was saying, you know, it's a good thing. I'm happy for them. I kind of figured they would have. I didn't think it would be 2 years, so that's major for them. I figured they would be renewed because, you know, a sizable portion of Peacock subscribers were Days fans. So, you know, I was happy for them, and I'm excited. Can't wait to see what happens.
What I also thought was interesting when the news came across is it made me think about a show that was recently canceled by the Peacock Network, which was The Vampire Academy. Now, that is a book series that I loved. And the series on Peacock was okay. But in the interview about the cancellation, because that was a Julie Plec show, one of the executives at Peacock said that what they learned with that platform is they, instead of focusing on the young adults and getting them to watch Peacock, they needed to focus on their parents who will actually be paying for the subscriptions and watching, which is why we now have things more like Poker Face and various other things. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, it's almost as if Days of Our Lives is the perfect fit for Peacock because it does tend to skew a little bit demographically older. It gets those subscriptions that they're wanting to try and get in the rest of these older audiences so that they can sometime down the road focus on young adults. But it gives them that foundation. And I was like, well, Peacock is learning from its mistakes with the Vampire Academy, and they're renewing Days. So, hey. Now, Mel, I understand you've been doing a little bit of Days of Our Lives watching. I know it's not normally your thing, but what did you think of this news?
Yeah, I've been watching regularly since about, I think, Day of Days. I watched for that, and then I just kind of never stopped. But I've been enjoying what I've been seeing, but the news of them getting a 2-year renewal is so important, and it's so fabulous, not just for the show, but for the genre. I think 1 year is a, okay, we're going to give you another chance, but 2 years shows confidence in the show, in the genre, in everything. And that's really what we need, especially in this day and age of American soap, where we only have 4 left. So I was very, very thrilled to see that they're giving them more time on Peacock, and this will take them to their 60th anniversary, which is even more important. So I'm so happy for Days. Shout out to them for making it work on Peacock, doing the thing. Go ahead with your bad selves.
Giving them some space. That was when they were renewed last time for 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's what Corday and Carlovati talked about in the interview the last time, was that they had some space. They didn't have to worry 6 months ahead. Like they taped so far in advance that they were worried immediately about the next renewal. And this gives them some breathing room.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the timing of the announcement also comes at when Bo and Hope have returned. We've got the sets have improved, shall we say. That is becoming more and more apparent every day. What are you guys thinking of the storylines that are playing out as this sort of rebirth is taking place? Jillian, what did you think of this last week's story on Days?
Watching Stefan and EJ try to one-up each other and Stefan being the victor, I loved it. And I'm sorry, but Brandon Barish just, he's perfect in that role of Stefan. I'm sorry, I'm not missing Jake. He is working them suits, child. I was loving it. I love it.
Fitted suits, too.
Yes, nice fitted suits. What's the face? Sloan and Belle having that bitch fest over things. I was like, this is like, Days has been lulling me in there. You know, I'm still hanging in there. I told you, I just need Ron just to hit the snooze button on the brain, on the microchip, brain, Rolf, someone back from the dead. Like, just hit the snooze button on that. And you could do that down the line. You know, it doesn't give you that oomph effect when someone's back. You're just like, oh, yeah, hey, y'all, Marlena back from the dead today. So, you know, same time next week, you know what I mean? So, I'm loving that. Gwen and Alex, I was like, okay, I could see this. I liked it. I'm hearing it. I'm like one of the rare ones that likes, what's her face? Gwen. Like, you know, I know some people hate Gwen. I'm just like, whatever. Like, y'all really didn't know Jack Devereaux then, because I'm like, Jack was a son of a bitch.
I mean, come on, back in the day?
Yeah, like father, like daughter. So I'm just like, come on, y'all, grow up. So, Days has just been getting me in there. I just need for my Johnny and Chanel to get together. Yes, I said what I said, and I'm not changing it.
Josh, Bo and Hope are both back. We know that Bo is a double agent now, quote unquote. What did you think of their return?
Just seeing them back on screen made me very happy. I mean, Days, over the last week, when they really brought this storyline, they've brought it forward. It feels very 1980s Days. I mean, yes, they're all like 60. they're all 60 and 70 years old. But
I hate you.
I mean, they are. But the thing is that
you're not allowed to tell anybody how old I am. Like,
well, I mean, You I ain't told none of their ages. IMDb did, but
but you ain't allowed. And Jamie is. I've always said that Jamie is never allowed because he rounds up like 5 years. So I'm like, you are not allowed to tell people how old I am. So don't do it.
I'm sorry. I mean, you just see Marlena, Kate, Kayla, Bo, Hope, all of them doing their thing. I feel like I'm 1980s. Just in overdrive. I just feel so good watching Days. It's just amazing. And even I think it's clear. I mean, I don't have any insider information, but I think it's clear this is the storyline that would have been Beyond Salem 3 that's now on the mothership. And I think it's great that they're bringing it on. But I also think that what's on the mothership, as Jillian mentioned, the Stefan versus EJ stuff, Stefan with Gabby and EJ with Nicole for Damara, the stuff with Chanel and Jada's sister, Talia. There's all kinds of good stuff going on the mothership, too. It just feels like Days is doing it. And they're pulling, I'm gonna say this for conversations we're going to have beyond this, they're pulling accurate history. They ain't retconning nothing. They're just, this is history. This is real stuff that actually happened. Even the Meghan Hathaway stuff, for folks who don't know it, this is accurate. Meghan Hathaway in the early 1980s was in love with Bo. This is exactly what happened.
You mean like the rest of us?
I'm just saying. We're going to get to talk about it because I can't. But accuracy matters, and this is helpful. It's good stuff.
Mel, yeah. I always enjoy having people on the podcast who aren't regular watchers of a certain soap who might have now be watching religiously, because I get to get a viewpoint of the show from someone who may not have their own favorites, shall we say. So what are you thinking of this?
He's talking about me, but we're going to say it.
No, I'm talking about myself, too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like,
he's talking about me.
I'm like, like everybody knows my Sammy love. Everybody knows my hate for certain characters. Like, but when someone comes on who doesn't watch a show as often, like Mel, I get to find out. So, Mel, what is attracting you as a newer viewer to this, quote-unquote, new Days?
Let me tell you what kept me coming back for more after I watched that 1 week of Day of Days. EJ, Nicole, and Eric. Baby, they had me with that. At one point, I was only watching for them. I was like, yeah, I need to know what's going on here and what's happening, because Eric and Nicole give me fire and desire and they give me everything I need. But I also like the dynamic between EJ and Nicole, and I knew they had history because I'd watched before once in the past. But that's not the point. But I really like this iteration of EJ and Nicole. It feels very soapy and old school, and I like that. So I'm enjoying that story a lot. And then I love that we've roped in Stefan, and now Stefan and EJ are poisoning each other in that very Demira way. And it comes off as soapy drama, but it's also kind of quirky and funny. So I enjoy that too. I am loving Gabby and Lee and that whole drama, because I really think Camila Bannis is shining in this story. She is giving me PNG, soap, ingenue, I'm loving it.
Ingenue? Like,
Yes. She's like, I gotta give it to her. Like,
I always think of ingenues as good girls, but maybe that's my misunderstanding of the term.
No, that is her misunderstanding. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely giving that. I think she's doing a really great job, and she is trying her best to elevate other people in the scene. So I'm enjoying that a lot. What else do I like? Let me see. There's parts of the... So, y'all know I'm a CBS soap girl to the end, and a lot of my shows are based in realism, so it's a little hard for me to connect with this, you know. Okay,
Marlena. Based in realism? Bold?
Listen, Bold is another story, but
as
Bold
the world turns,
get...
a Guiding Light, not Guiding Light, but as
well,
the world
Young and the Restless still has more realism. It's boring realism, but it's
Guiding
it got
Light
realism.
Cloned Reva, and there was a whole sheep and all
she
kind of shit.
She fought Nazis so, and walked through a painting child.
You know,
but as the world turns,
that was the one. You know, sometimes they get a little quirky, but they don't do it all the time. But I also don't think those CBS shows did it to the extent of where Days is doing it of, you know, okay, they died, but they didn't, and then they went to heaven, but it wasn't heaven, it was hell, and it was the devil.
Like, I still can't, I can't believe they had a crock pot, an air fryer, and a blender.
Listen, that where Rolf was doing the brainwashing with Stefan, I looked at that shit and I said, is that a crock pot?
Right.
Do you have a spatula?
But they're in on their own joke.
And they are, which is funny, but at the same time, it kind of, I'd be like, I don't know about this, y'all. I have a hard time connecting with them.
They that waka waka, like, you know, it's sometimes like they're in on it, but sometimes like Josh loves that bullshit.
I love it because
I get annoyed. I'm just like, okay, waka waka.
Right, no. I don't know about this. But what I like about the Marlena, Kayla, Kate story is that it's full of vets. And anytime I can see vets on screen getting major story is something that I'm always going to root for.
That's one thing Carlo Vatti will do. He will.
Yeah.
If you're a vet, if you haven't been played, he will look into your history and don't let your history be good history, honey. He will be like, okay, bitch, you gonna be, I'm gonna work the shit out of you.
I love all of that, and I love how we're doing Steve and Roman and John, and they're teaming up, you know. And I like how they just kind of rolled across Hope. It was like, Hope, girl, what you doing here? And I was like,
that's very Days. That is Days.
You know, so stuff like that. While there's parts of it, I'm like, I know, check your reality at the couch, but still, like, I don't know about this, y'all.
Yeah,
they do other things to make up for it, to where I'm not like, okay, fast forward, because I can't do this. Because I at least want to see, like, what's going on. So there's parts of that I really do enjoy. There's other parts I'm just like, I don't care nothing about this. Please move on. Like, But I will say, to give a shout out to somebody, Emily O'Brien, that's a completely different actress.
Come
that
on now.
Not the same woman who was on Young and the Restless. I don't care what nobody says.
Jana who?
I don't care what that.
You don't
that's
know
a
her.
Different person.
I don't know her.
Mm-hmm. I don't know her. That's a different person. So to see what she does here is great. I do enjoy, I know a lot of people have a problem with Leo Stark, but I love watching Greg Rickard have a blast.
He's so he's having such a good time.
I love watching that. So, and especially since watching him on YNR since the beginning of time at this point, and to see his journey over to another show and just watch him completely love a role again, I'm like, yes, I will watch this all day.
Yep.
And he does crack me up, you know, the lady whistleblower stuff. That's hysterical. I don't care who you are. Like, that's just funny. So it's things like that I enjoy. Mm. I am not overly fond of Alex Kyriakis, like... you hear the sigh because that's how I feel about that big character. I know on Twitter they call him Pepe Le Pew, and that's accurate because he is. I don't want any part of that. So, and I think that story with Trip and Wendy and Johnny, ooh, that needs help.
A lot. My favorite part of Days of Our Lives this last week was the...
some old broad on. Mm.
The John and Paul part.
Oh, that was good. That was really good.
Like, there's something about those two who have this father-son dynamic that I enjoy more than John with the sons that he's shared way more screen time with.
John's got some dumbass Karen.
Well, that's true.
Paul is smart. This
is
why.
But, like, the banter, like, when John called Paul middle-aged and that kind of stuff because they were talking about Paul's relationships, that was just... something that, like, an element of the show that I really enjoyed. I did love the fact that there was a mention of Vivian Alamein this last week. You know that I light up at the words Vivian Alamein.
Luke, I would have thought you would have really liked the Sloan and Bell stuff because it was very, very bitchy, very, very...
You want me to be excited about two characters I don't care about?
Okay, you can say that. I would have thought you would have liked it because I thought it was great. I thought you would have liked it.
It's not that the dialogue and stuff wasn't fun. Like, I totally get why you think that. Totally get it. It's just that...
Say what you gotta say.
Talk, girl. Let's
say so much of Days of Our Lives is not what I watch Days of Our Lives for, that, like, I have to pick and choose. And so, like...
You gotta have new characters, though.
You do have to have new characters, but, like, for example, Mel mentioning EJ and Nicole. Like, to me, in my mind, we've seen EJ and Nicole before, but we are now in this era where the odds of Sammy coming back regularly are sort of slim. Mm-hmm. And so if they can develop EJ and Nicole into something really dynamic and really viable, I would like to really see them, like, just lean into it and go for it.
And viable enough that when Sammy comes back, she does not interrupt it.
Right. Like, she will cause, like, she'll obviously cause them both indigestion, as she's supposed to do. But when she comes back, it's not going to prevent them from doing whatever it is. Like, it could be that maybe Nicole has finally kicked Eric to the curb the way he deserves, and the reason why Sammy comes back is to go after Nicole for her brother. It's not about EJ, Nicole, and Sammy. But, like, there's...
All roads lead to Samantha.
No, they don't. But yes, I'm just... But do. It's like, for people who love Patch and Kayla, they're having a wonderful time. For people who love Bo and Hope, they just got him back, I'm happy for them. For people who love John and Marlena and are the reason why they watch, they're getting what they want. For me, as the person who grew up watching rivalries with Vivian and Kate and having Victor around, those are the things that I watched for. And I don't get a lot of what I enjoy most about Days of Our Lives. That's not to say that everybody else isn't getting it, but I don't get it. But that's... They can't write a story. They can't write a soap for one person. They can't write a soap for one person.
Go!
Let's talk a little bit about The Bold and the Beautiful. Josh, Jillian has warned you not to text me your thoughts on things. And so you do so at your own risk. And this last week you were like, it's a good thing there's only 3 days of B&B because of March Madness. What did you think of the big revelation on B&B this last week?
It's Luke. Okay. Why? Someone tell me why. Because Finn and Steffi had the evidence to put Sheila away. But for some reason, we needed Bill to go around the corner to Ridge and work for the FBI and bring Taylor's stuff in. And Taylor suddenly is, Taylor is suddenly okay for shooting Bill because she's been exonerated. But we needed to bring them around to put her in prison when they had the same evidence to put her in prison.
Make it make sense.
I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. I feel like the way I talk about G8 sometimes, where I think they don't know where they're going, I feel like Brad came in and was like, hey, by the way, we're going to have Bill and Ridge be an FBI. It makes no sense. It just makes zero sense. It's stupid. It's dumb. And as Miss Bo would say, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's just awful. And I don't really have anything else to say about it. It's just a bad, bad storyline that lots of folks online think is like, oh, it's so good because we finally understand why Bill's doing what. No, we didn't need any of this shit ever. It's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Jillian?
I mean, it is a hot, stank, shitty, boo-boo diaper mess because, like, I'm not going to lie. Him working with Ridge and the FBI, I was like, that ain't on my bingo card. But the reasoning, I thought this is ridiculous. The one that should have been working for the feds should have been Deacon. The feds should have been catching Deacon creeping with her, and they figure out, oh, so you helped her, and they should have busted Deacon. And this should have been Deacon laying it on thick with for her. Oh, girl, I want you, blah, blah, blah. But he's
your toe is so hot.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yes, your nine-toe self is so sexy, girl. Like, this should have been Deacon, and you find out Deacon's doing that to save his own tail. Because one minute he was literally all about Brooke, and next minute Sheila put it on him, and he's like, Sheila ties? I'm like, what? This should have been Deacon. We already had Sheila dead to rights for Finn and Steffi shooting and what she did to Lee. Any prosecutor with a brain would have said, okay, if you want to make these charges go away that we got you dead for, if you want some time off, you tell us about this. This makes no sense at all. And I mean, we now know why Bill is like, was acting like a pod person. I really was hoping that it was, he was being brainwashed. That would have been a little interesting.
Or poisoned, but, on that sword.
Yeah, but like, this is just, I just feel as though this is just a complete cop out. Like, they're rewriting their own history. They're, well, I mean, they all do. But let me, they're rewriting something that happened a few months ago. Like, I'm like, are Chris and Dan in that writer's room? Dan and Chris in that writer's room? Because, you know, they bookie on doing that. So I'm just like, y'all over there? Like, this ooh, makes no, yeah, this makes no sense whatsoever, considering you had her dead. You had her on a arm's length worth of charges. It makes no sense.
Mel, you have been the party girl for DC this last week. You went to the Young and the Restless 50th. You're keeping tabs on all the goings on celebrations for the 36th anniversary. What did you think of the Young and the Restless 50th party?
Ugh, y'all want to talk about just glamour. That's what it felt like being there. Oh my God. It was just, the venue was nice. It had a very beautiful outside portion. It was huge, and you went inside and the party just continued. There was a, you know, a beautiful red carpet, all everything that comes along with that. And the press, we were treated extremely kindly. We were able to stay and enjoy the party after the carpet was over. It was just,
oh, you got to go?
Really, yes. It, ooh, was just a really, really nice event. Like, I don't have any bad things to say. And there was even one portion where there was going to be a presentation going on inside, and at first it was like, we don't know if we want press, and then 5 minutes later they were like, you know what, never mind, everybody come in, enjoy yourselves, have a good time. And I really, really appreciated that from the Young and the Restless. Everybody looked beautiful. It was just, like I said, it was glamour. It was money. It was everything you think about the Young and the Restless, of all these, you know, fabulous people walking around doing fabulous things. That's exactly what the party was. I loved it.
What are you thinking of how the 50th anniversary is playing out on screen as we build towards the official anniversary date, which is, well, this weekend, I believe?
Yes, it is. So, well, I was kind of hoping they would do more than a, oh, we're just celebrating Genoa City's, you know, bicentennial celebrations. Hold on. You know, I was kind of hoping it was more than that. You know, we have a Nikki's galas and things like that, which, if you are a viewer of YNR for a long time, you know Nikki's galas used to be a big deal every year, mm-hmm, and then they kind of stopped. So now we're bringing it back, which I guess is fine. I understand we have to try and get everybody in the same place. So while I wish they would have done something a little more creative, you know what? It's a way for everybody to be on the screen at the same time. So I guess I can't complain too much. I am excited about all of the big returns. I think everybody who is on the list, Barbara Crampton, Patti Weaver, Trisha Cass, Veronica Reed, and Michael Damian were all at the 50th anniversary party. So that was really great just to see them there. I got to talk to most of them, not everybody, but it was still good.
Did you see Dougie Davidson there?
Oh, no. Jillian.
Oh, Lord.
Jillian.
What'd I say? What'd I do?
He was not there, and that is for the record. He wasn't there. They give you a list of folks who may or may not be there. He was on the list as may be there, but he did not show up.
Yeah.
Well, Ron was there.
She sure was. I was like, shit.
She was. And that was definitely one, like, so as you're on a red carpet, you get to know the people next to you because we're all at these different events. And when she showed up, it was definitely a, oh, we didn't know she was coming. I mean, nobody was complaining that she was there, but it was very nice to see her. It was an unexpected arrival.
Well,
but
after the Christoph St. John thing, I think that there, at least for this type of thing, there's been enough mending, shall we say, that...
Where you been, Luke? You are totally out of the loop. Because a few weeks ago, she mentions again in the press talking about that spit take.
I get that, but what I'm saying is I feel like... How do I put this?
You just said they mended, child. Mended what?
What I feel like is there has been enough time since the era when she was there that they're able to be in a place at the same place and get along for whatever. It's sort of like family. In Young of the Restless has a big family. Sometimes you go to the family reunions and you see people, you may not get along with them, but you can still be there and be polite while you're there.
Again, see, I echo Mel because I was shooketh when I saw her pop up. I'm like, girl, I was not an invite? Because a few weeks ago, she made headlines, like I said again, talking about that spit take, and people were tearing said actresses who were involved in certain aspects of the spit take and the wig to shreds. So when I saw her pop up, I was like, whoa. So this goes back to the Doug Davidson thing. If they can allow, well, not allow, but if she can show up, Doug, you should have also. Like, you just, I get it, you in your bag because they ain't bringing you back, but this would have been a perfect chance for you to come back and remind them why they need to bring you back instead of this shit fest that you do on Twitter. But child, that's your circus. That's your circus and your monkey. So
I don't know. In more positive notes, I got to talk to lots of cast members and I found out who listens to the podcast. Shout out Mark Grossman. I had a very nice long talk with him and he was like, oh yeah, I listen to you guys all the time. You guys have the four people on. Like, he definitely knew who we were. So shout out to him.
Well, Josh, what did you think of the Young and the Restless 50th on screen?
I just quickly wanted to ask Mel a question. Veronica Reed is somebody I was very curious about because I honestly did not watch when she was on, but I've gone back and watched. And when you said
I love her version better.
And when you said she was on, I just wanted to know what she was like on the carpet and what it was like to talk to her.
She was so sweet. She came relatively early in the carpet and I talked to her and we had a really good conversation about, you know, she had taken over the role for another actress. And I told her, I was like, you know, you're the one that I remember the most of. And she was like, you know, it was very interesting for me to come into that role because, you know, Mamie had always been a motherly matriarch type. And that was so opposite from who I was as a person. And she said she really had to dig down and learn how to become that truly, you know, matriarch figure. Cause she was like, you know, I wasn't, you know, old, but I wasn't exactly young either when I came into that role. And she was just like, it was interesting for me to try and learn that, but it made it easier with all of the people I was working with. And she made a very big point to talk about Jerry Douglas. And I asked her, I was like, you know, what was that like, you know, being back on the set again and after all these years? And she was like, you know, a lot of things hadn't changed. A lot of things are exactly the same. But the thing that really was different for me was Jerry Douglas not being there. And she was like, just not hearing his voice among everything was really, she said, that was the hardest thing for her coming back, was him not being there. And I was like, yeah, I can definitely see that because, you know, they have such a rich history between the two. And I loved hearing her perspective on talking about how things were, you know, before and how they are now. And you'll see in the coming interview on the blog. And she was so sweet at the end. I was telling her, I was like, you know, you really mean a lot to the YNR fans, especially in that character of Mamie. specifically. And she was like, oh, you know, you're so sweet. And she made sure at the end of the interview, she was like, oh, what's your name? Be sure, like, come and find me later. Like, she was just an ultimate sweetheart. Very reminiscent of what Mamie is like on screen. And I loved talking to her. She is just a legend.
Now let me ask you something. Did you talk to Eric and Melody? Because I ain't being messy now. Well, technically, sort of, kind of. Because everywhere that you saw, they were the belle of the ball, honey. Okay. So I'm just like, did you speak to the powerhouses?
Okay, so the big three, is what I like to call MTS, Eric Braden, and Peter Bergman. So MTS is the very first one on the carpet. And even she was like, what? Am I first? I'm usually never the first one here. And the way the carpet is almost always separated, you have all your print people, you have broadcast cameras. So on and so forth. So she didn't exactly stop where we were in the print version. She just kind of went straight to the cameras, which is okay. That's not shade. I'm not hating, nothing like that. No, she did say hi.
It is what it is.
But it is what it is. Eric Braden and Peter Bergman did the same. They just kind of strolled right on by, went to the cameras, took their little pictures, and did what they had to do. I think MTS did give interviews a little bit further down the line, but, you know, cameras, it is what it is. So, no, I did not get to talk to them, but I did get to see them in all of their glory as the YNR Big Three. And you were right. They're complete belle of the balls. Like, you knew when it was them on the carpet because everything just went crazy. It was Melody, Eric, like, the whole nine yards. They had a little table in the very front. Like, it was just, you could tell. They're the OGs. They're very well celebrated. And they did their thing. But no, they didn't really give tons of interviews.
So I have two red carpet questions before we jump to Jillian and also the little mess that she was referring to. So my two questions. First one, I saw from the red carpet photos that Original Recipe Victoria was there. But was like New Recipe Victoria there?
I didn't see her. But I think it was her birthday the same night, so maybe she had something else
going
on.
Totally understandable.
But I wasn't sure Original Recipe Victoria.
If she was on the list of people who wasn't there, that would explain why, so I wasn't sure. And then the other thing that I was curious about, because on the podcast, like in the past couple podcasts, we discussed what might show up. Did you hear any questions asked about what happened at the writers with the writers' room on the red carpet?
So, you know, it's funny. Josh Griffin briefly, and I mean briefly, appeared on the red carpet.
Mm.
And I wanted to ask him questions. And he looked and was like, nope. And like, you can see him like, I don't think so.
He saw the words Daytime Confidential. It was like turned on his heel.
I don't know if it was necessarily us, but like he kind of just did like a once around the carpet and was like, I think I'm good. And just went straight to the cameras because you can, you know,
you
come in, it's like we're on the side and then there's the main carpet. So you can really just skip over all of that if you want to.
That's you give it too much. You being nice, girl. This is the real tea. He knows that the cameras do not know. Aren't locked in and in depth in this world like we are. So that is why he was like, he said, Dave.com, oh, fuck y'all. And he just went all over. He was like, you ain't gonna say nothing. You ain't gonna ask me shit.
I saw, you know, if you ever done a red carpet, they basically come up, the PR people come up and they have a paper and it says who it is and who they're representing. Do you want to speak to them? And it was like Josh Griffin, and then you saw it flash and it went right back down. So it was very quick. But I didn't ask about any of the writers.
Well,
business.
I was just curious if any of the, like, if you'd heard, like, since you're there in a group and you're with people, other journalists, I wasn't sure if anybody got the question or if it was something that just wasn't allowed to be discussed.
I don't know, but a lot of people, the chatter, the tea around everything was that it's probably because that may be possibly impending writer strike, but we don't know. Like, that's not, I'm not saying that's what it is before somebody run with a story. That's not what I'm saying it is, but that's
but
just kind
Mel,
of.
I need you to risk it all next time you see him again. Josh, Daytime Confidential over here. Like, yeah, I need you to risk it all because when you do that and they try to give you the cold shoulder, everyone sees and that flies like wildfire, and then you get all the press is just like, he snubbed this and that, and that makes it worse. Trust.
Well,
Jillian,
there may be an actor we tried that with. And
right, I feel like I feel like you don't even need to ask that question with some actors.
Go back. Who'd you do that with, girl? Okay, let's play Pictionary. Okay, it's an actor.
I think she's alluding to who you were talking about.
Lord Jesus.
No, it wasn't. It was somebody else who very recently joined the show that I was very eager to talk to, but was not in a chatting mood. Okay, moving on.
TSJ.
I'm warned you about that, girl. But yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Jillian, what did you think of the 50th on screen? And then let's talk a little bit about Eric versus Eva.
The 50th on screen is a little tepid for me. Like Mel said, when Nikki does a ball, baby, I'm being nice here. Shit. When Nikki does a party, I mean, look, I know y'all ain't got no budget, but based on how your homeboy over there, he done freed up a lot of money, you should be able to do stuff over there. Like, I'm just not feeling it per se. I wish it was a little bit more, because real talk, it's ridiculous to say the town is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Like, you could have said Jabot was doing it or something, and this was something that Nikki used to do time Chancellor. And time again, or Chancellor or something. I'm like, the town? Come on, son. Like, you gotta come on, son, for me with that. It's a little tepid, but to see all those come back, Mamie's coming back, Leanna Love is coming back. I'm about to call her Leanne Hunley, child. Y'all, the names are just too close. I'm feeling seeing the past characters come back. So that's what I'm excited about.
And what are you thinking of Eric versus Eva?
Child, let me tell you. Y'all better pretend, like Eric said, smoke, I want it all. Like, I get a message from Josh. Of course, Josh don't give no contact. I'm like, God damn it, Josh. So I go snooping, and I'm like, oh, shit, what the hell happened here? And I'm just, like, asking, what interview is he talking about? Here's my thing. If you don't have the answer, do not say to me, I don't know. You don't have the answer. I'm looking for those who have the answer. I hate that. If you ain't got the answer, put your hand down. Shit. Everybody is like, you know, then I got inundated on this is what he meant. So when I first read it, I was like, oh, bitch, that's what you said? But then I said, you know, things in print, the context and the tone of it is always taken out of context. So yep. I'm like, and then when I heard that it was on HBO Go, I was like, okay. I was like about to go look for it, but then shout out to Jonathan over there. Jonathan was like, this is what he's complaining about. And I'm like, okay, Eric, you know, I ain't telling Eric how to run his Twitter, because somebody tried to do that with him, and he, like, they were like, you need to delete this. And he was like, I don't have to do a damn thing. I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, oh, girl, you must not know. You must be new to this thing, because this man is like, he is like on fire on Twitter. He will get you dope. So, you know, I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, I can see why Eric got upset, and he explained it because, you know, he basically summarizing it, he felt as though it was a question to try to make fun of her previous job. But then I watched it three times just to make sure. I didn't think Chris Wallace was doing that, because at first I'm like, well, then Eric, you should have that smoke for Chris Wallace. Why you got it for Eva? Agreed. And then I'm watching it again and I'm like, no, she's not downing the show.
She's
downing the fact that she was not making enough money, so she was still a headhunter.
And she was trying to keep another job. That's all she was trying to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she was just saying, she was downplaying herself, period, as an actress, when she said, I couldn't tell my clients I'm just a dumb actress. And the word that when she used that phrase, I'm like, I bet you any money, one of her clients said something like, oh, I thought you were a dumb actress, or don't be a dumb actress. You bet some of those clients probably said that to her. And she's just like, no. And she's just praying that nobody saw her on TV. And she said, one of them was like, ain't you on TV? And she's like, no. Like, she was talking about how she was hustling and she made it, but she wasn't making enough money. And she had to hide that she was an actress because of said job. I didn't think she was downing it at all. He said, you were on a really popular show and you were still headhunting. That was the takeaway that he had. Like, bitch, you want a hot ass soap and you still headhunting? Like, what's tea? That's what he was meaning. So I was like,
hasn't Kate Linder?
What? Oh yeah, Kate Linder was. Still
I mean, Kate Linder's been yet? Kate Linder's been flying for years and still being on The Young and the Restless. Someone having a second side hustle shouldn't matter one iota.
But she was trying to do something different. It wasn't that. I mean, to me, it was like. The only thing she did wrong in terms of soaps is like she wasn't being the Julianne Moore of it all. Julianne Moore always like celebrates the fact she was on As the World Turns. She admits it at all times and says, this is my origins. And when they brought up the clip of YNR, she did laugh a little bit, which she shouldn't have done. But
I mean, she could
what
lie.
She was trying she to do was funny. Say, I was trying to do a side hustle and I didn't want folks to think that I was actually making money in a different way. And I didn't find that at all offensive.
No. And like, there's right. nothing. No. Like, so you're Luke, I think you're missing the point. Like, there's nothing wrong with the side hustle because Kate Linder did it. And she said how people used to be like, ain't you on TV? And she'd be like, yep. Cream of sugar. Like, you know, Sherman Helmsley famously was still being, he used to work for the post office. He was still working for the post office when he was on All in the Family and the Jeffersons. I think season 3, maybe. Someone can correct
Marla
me.
Marla Gibbs, too. Marla Gibbs was a flight attendant. Chandra Wilson, didn't she work at the bank for, like, ever?
Yeah, like, I think season
forever, 3 ever?
Of the Jeffersons is when he finally was like, okay, I'm good. It's not the side hustle thing of it all. I think it's just, like, the word she used pissed him off. And I feel as though it's lost in translation. She was just trying to say, look, I didn't want them to know that I was an actress being a headhunter. Like, I guess that job was really serious. And they're just like, a dumb actress is handling my account. Like, I got her with that. So it was like, Eric needed to, like, kind of ceasefire. Like, holster your gun. Because, listen, I'm right there with Eric riding shotgun. If you talk shit, I'm going to be right there in your mentions. And Eric even put some more smoke on it. Like, he tweeted it out, then he added her to let her know, yeah, I meant you. I was like, ooh. I just screamed. I'm like, I ain't gonna lie. I thought that was hilarious. But, yeah, she wasn't downing the genre. She was just saying she was on a hot show, but she wasn't making that hot money.
And that makes sense because she was new to the genre. And everybody knows brand new genre actors in soaps get paid bottom of the barrel. Everybody knows that. So, what she's saying makes sense of I didn't get paid enough to support myself, so I had to have another job too. But I agree that I don't think she was taking a dig at the show.
No.
She was just stating facts. Like,
before we wrap this up, I want to touch on two things from General Hospital. Yvette Nicole Brown will be appearing on in GH's tribute to Sonya Eddy. In the realm of returns, Emma Sams will be returning on April 14th and reprising her role as Holly Sutton. So that is something that GH fans have to look forward to. Going around the circle, real quick, final thought for this past week on a soap. If there was something, a storyline-wise, that each of you just wanted to give a shout-out to. Jillian, you first.
My final thought is for GH. I just need for Jocelyn Jax to be called out on her hypocrisy.
Ooh.
You know, you told your mother she was stupid to... Yes, she did. She told Carly, and see, I'm like, Carly, you obviously grew up on some uppity side, even though you said it was the wrong side of the tracks of Florida, because I'm like, a Florida chick would have put hands on that girl. But when you said that your mother was stupid to let Jason and Sonny run roughshod in her life and do all the things that they did and she covered, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, aren't you doing that too with Dex? Like, you have no problem using Sunny to your disposal, but when Sunny decides to hunch on your mama, it's like he needs to go to jail. I just want her hypocrisy to be called out. And I hated the fact that Cameron was all sniffling around her. I wanted that angry Cam to be like, get out of my face, ho. Like, ugh, that just pissed me off.
Josh, final thought?
My final thought is Jessica Sarfati, again, as Sloane on Days of Our Lives. I think she and Belle were an amazing sort of back and forth. And I think it's the beginning, it's potentially the beginning of a back and forth of a rivalry that we've seen historically on Days, that if they continue to play this young woman as Eric's girlfriend and Belle's rival, could be really, really good. So I'm sort of enjoying Jessica Sarfati and loving her.
Mel, final thought?
My final thought is that Nate and Victoria from The Young and the Restless, I need them to get it in on every available surface.
Yeah.
Immediately, because they gave me that little tasty taste last week of Victoria having that imagination dream of them getting it in, and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough, she and I need more of it.
She needed to put her bakuchi in a cold glass of water. I was
she
like, wasn't, girl.
Man, she was throwing it. She threw it behind her back, over her leg, like, everywhere. Girl. And I'm not mad. What you got to do, Victoria. Get that man, please, for all of us, okay?
Like they have a little something. They're like they've awakened this dry as fuck Nate and Elena storyline. Like they've awakened that beef. Ooh, they dry.
Like put us out of our misery, please. But those two, I needed to happen. I really hope during the 50th anniversary episodes, when everybody down there partying, they upstairs getting it in.
I hope they have their own private party. Yes.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Mel is at Melody Akles. Josh is at Dr. Joshua09. And Jillian is at Jillian Bowe. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Ciao, Bella.
Bye, y'all.